Hallelujah. According to Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hearts may be especially heavy this All Saints Day, my sisters and brothers in Christ. We have borne so very much this year. The difficulty of the new measures required of us to live safely under the threat of the COVID-19 virus. The loss of so many people, some to us individually, as our loved ones may have perished without a final visit after entering the hospital, or just to us as human beings, bearing the weight of the death of 234,000 of our fellow inhabitants of the United States, or incredibly, the end of 1,195,000 lives globally taken by this virus. We have borne the news again and again of the killing of unarmed Black men by police. And with the wonders of modern technology, now we often have seen videos of the horrifying violent travesties. We have borne the heaviness of growing racial hatred and word of white supremacists arming them for themselves for who knows what. We have borne the battering of the political campaigns of this year, with what sometimes seems like unending noise and anger and lies. We have borne the worry of increasing climate change with ever more destructive storms and wildfires, and yesterday another earthquake, and our national government seemingly doing nothing to stem the tide or even moving backward to take less conservative measures than had been taken in the past. We have borne the inhumanity of our country's official policy toward refugees and asylum seekers, that they not be granted their rights under international law to enter our country to seek safety and peace, but instead they are left to live on the streets in Mexico. And the parents of over 500 children who our government separated from their parents upon entry into the United States, maybe as much as a year ago, who can no longer be located in their countries of origin, to which we returned them. How long, we may ask God, when will this end? When will you set things right again, Lord? When will you notice our sacrifices? When will there be an end to our suffering and tears? You know, we stand in good company with this question. Moses asked it of God. So did the psalmists and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and Habakkuk and Zechariah. And do you know what else? God has asked it of humanity as well, any number of times. How long, God has asked, my beloved children, will you not keep our covenant? Today, we look to our forebears in faith to see if they have the answer to that question. They were saints, having been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were sinners, having had their own trials and tribulations in their days. But we know that they were forgiven sinners. And that we can look also to John the Revelator for an answer to that question. For just before the portion of the text that is our first reading today, he reports that the kings of the earth and the magnates and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains and called out to God, "Who is able to stand?" The answer is, in Christ, with God's help, no matter what, we can stand. We can stand no matter how long it takes. And when we do, those who come behind us will have found us to have been faithful. We know that this is so because it is the faithfulness of our forebears that we celebrate today that teaches us how to survive what may at first blush seem to be insurmountable obstacles. But God is with us, as God has been with our ancestors for millennia. And God always has held out the promise of salvation to the remnant of people who have come through the tribulation. This is also the promise that Jesus shares with the disciples when he delivers the first portion of his teaching sermon on the Mount, telling them about who will be blessed, or with other translations, happy, or fortunate, or satisfied, or sustained, or much to be emulated. All of these terms have been offered as English translations of the Greek word makarioi, or beati in Latin, from which we derive the word beatitudes. Why will these people be blessed? Because they are children of God. This is what happens to people when they are baptized and have become believers, when they are Christians. But wait, you may say, I've been baptized for years, maybe almost all your life. I'm not feeling blessed. I'm not comforted. My hunger for righteousness hasn't been filled. I don't experience mercy in this life of travail. Yes, because the Beatitudes, these promises Jesus makes for the reversal of the nature of existence for people who are overborn in the world, are about their and our existence in the kingdom, the realm of heaven. That might mean after our earthly deaths, or it might mean when God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. These are pure promises, but they are future promises. We will have to slog through our troubles on earth for a while longer. But we know that while we do that, we have the faith of our foremothers and forefathers to look to as examples of Christian faithfulness. They have been Christ to us, and Jesus' ministry has continued in the lives of generations of his disciples. Jesus never did promise that life on earth for Christians would be without difficulty. In fact, quite the opposite. And John reminds us that these people, our forebears, are a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. The branches suggest the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles, preceding the Exodus to freedom from Egypt. In Revelation, the call was to Christians to join a new Exodus out of the Roman Empire, led by the shepherd who was also the Lamb, Jesus. And the invitation remains to us to come out of the influence of the imperfect world we are in, to live in the community of Christ. Our ancestors in faith have come out of the great tribulation, so they know what we are facing. And their example is available to us to hold on to Jesus. And we know also that God walks with us every step of our lives if we allow divine entry into our lives, making a way where it seems no way through the trouble exists. God's Holy Spirit is our constant companion, leading and guiding us, ordering our steps, and showing us how to live in love, in acceptance, in joy, always being encouraged and sustained. Let's pray.
For all the saints who from their labors rest, all who by faith before the world confessed your name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Oh, alleluia. Alleluia. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one within your design. Alleluia. Alleluia. But then there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array of glory, passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.